Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome back to Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you have had the opportunity to take advantage of our special matching grant, we thank you. Our May monthly matching grant is in place right now, up to $300,000 thanks to some special friends of our ministry. Make a donation today at drjamesdobson.org, and your gift will be doubled dollar for dollar. Now, if you were with us on yesterday's broadcast, you heard an enlightening conversation about Christian citizenship featuring our own Gary Bauer and his guest, Terry Schilling. Today, Gary and Terry will dive further into the issues facing many marriages and families here in America. Terry Schilling is the president of the American Principles Project. In the past, he's no stranger to Capitol Hill. He's worked for several pro-family political leaders, and in 2010, he proudly and successfully managed the campaign for his father, Bobby Schilling, who made a run for Congress that year. Now, in yesterday's broadcast, we heard Terry talk about big families. But you may not know that Terry and his wife, Katie, are actually the parents of seven children themselves. What a blessing indeed. Now let's join Gary Bauer and his guest, Terry Schilling, from the American Principles Project, right here, right now, on Family Talk.
We have a society now where we are all our own gods. We all have our own truth. We all have ultimate authority. We can do whatever we want. We can even change our biological makeup to become the opposite sex. That's how it's all going. And that's, I think, because we've destroyed the family, which has traditionally insulated people from bad cultural influences and really forced people into, well, forming the next generation. But we've also gotten God out of the equation, and that's led to disaster too.
I mean, that's really a good way to look at the battle that's raging in the country. Rather than looking at it as being essentially a battle between two political parties, it's a battle between two different ideas of what this place is all about. On one side, and Dr. Dobson and I wrote about this at length in our book, Children at Risk. On one side, there are people that believe that the definition of America is different strokes for different folks. If it feels good, do it. You know, that's what it means to be an American. And on the other side are people like you and Dr. Dobson and myself and millions of others, I hope, that believe America is about ordered liberty under God. This is not the place where you get to just do anything you want. The idea the founders had was you used your liberty to live virtuous lives because only a virtuous people could remain free.
That's right. And the founders were explicit in this, and they explained it. They wrote extensively about this. When liberties get abused, chaos is created. And disorder ensues. And then guess what happens? Those liberties get removed. All the liberties eventually get removed. And that's where we're at. We're about to lose all of our liberties because we've adopted a narcissistic, self-centered mindset across the spectrum. And it is this mindset of us being our own gods and being the center of the universe that's infiltrated everywhere, including so many churches. Right. The gospel is now being spoken to us in terms of what it means to us individually. I saw a video the other day of a pastor, apparently Christian, and doesn't sound like a very Christian gospel, of a pastor talking about maybe God worships us.
Oh, my
have you
goodness.
Ever thought about maybe that's why he died on the cross? Because he worships. Which is absolutely preposterous.
Did a lightning bolt not come down? Because that should have been a lightning bolt moment right there.
No, that's exactly right. When I mean, like, we all know that the example that Christ set on the cross for us, it goes back to Corinthians, right, where Paul writes about how Christianity is a stumbling block for the Jews because the Jews seek signs, the Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified. And what does that mean? Well, that means that we all have obligations. We all have duties. God made us for a specific purpose. And Christ embraced that painful and horrific death because that's why God created him. We live by dying to ourselves and by living for God and doing his will. And that trips so many people up. And it should, right? It is a tough thing to believe. But through God's grace, he gives us the ability to have faith. I have friends who, it's funny, when you have conversations with people that don't believe in God, there's all different types of reasons. They misunderstand the gospel, but in reality, I think there's a real problem with a lack of faith and the ability to even believe and think about the existence of God. Mm. And I think that ultimately faith is a grace that we've been rejecting from God.
You know, since we both live in this Washington, D.C. area, I know you've seen this, and I've seen it in other places around the country, but you'll drive by a church and you'll see the LGBTQ flag flying outside the church. What in the world is going on in that congregation that they want to hang that flag outside of the church? It doesn't make any sense. You know, Terry, the other thing that's so obvious is that if we believe the research, every year we are less Christian than we were the year before. Now, you know, I know Dr. Dobson's been encouraged, and I have too, about some signs of revival. But so far, you can't prove it statistically. We'll see what happens. And there have been some, you know, important revivals in America's past that led to wonderful things. But when you look at our country becoming less and less Christian, at the same time, we're becoming a worse and worse country. All of the problems get worse and worse, whether it's race relations, the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of reliable standards of right and wrong, the debased culture, et cetera. So it seems to me that it's clear that not only does America need to turn back to Christ, but in addition to that, those of us who are Christians need to be in the public square, because none of the problems facing America can be solved without the active involvement of men and women of faith.
That's exactly right, Gary. I think this is a great opportunity to talk about a major fallacy that I hear repeated all the time, which is politics is downstream of culture. Right. And in some areas, what they're really trying to say is politics is impacted by the media and by Hollywood and by the broader culture. And in order to have an effect in politics, we have to take over these institutions or at least compete in those institutions. And I don't reject that, but I do treat it as a half truth. And why it's a half truth is because it treats politics as a passive playing field. And it's a battlefield. It is an active place where we have to engage and we have to get involved. But politics is in many ways not just part of the culture, but it's upstream of culture. The law is a teacher. What the law is says what's legally allowed in society, what's legally acceptable in society. It's a bare minimum. And if your laws are saying that you can give sex change procedures to minors, then what can't we do? Right? If your laws are saying that you can't protect children from pornography, then what can you protect them from? You know, it's only a matter of time. If pornographers have a right to deliver pornography even to children, then what's stopping them from actually abusing children? What's stopping them from starting child brothels eventually down the road? Because that's where this all leads, right? If you listen to the tenets of the LGBT movement, and by the way, the progressives, the LGBT movement, all the abortion rights movement, they've taken over essentially every major institution in a very serious way, in a way that it's almost impossible to take them back. Good luck taking over Hollywood. Good luck taking over. It took progressives over 100 years to secure as much power in American society, and it went unchecked by our government. And not just unchecked, a lot of this was funded and subsidized by our federal government. The transgender movement, that didn't explode until Obamacare was interpreted to not allow for discrimination on the basis of gender identity. How that plays out in healthcare is if you're a health insurance provider and you cover mastectomies for cancer victims, well, now you have to cover mastectomies for poor little 14-year-old girls that want to identify as non-binary, whatever the heck that means, or as a male. Politics is not downstream of culture. It's impacted by other aspects. But at the end of the day, I think politics is a driving force in our culture. When Donald Trump says something on TV or on Truth Social or on Twitter, people start talking about it. They're talking about it on the nightly news, right? Like, so politics is a way to actually impact all the other aspects of culture and to get debates among the American people. And by the way, if we are able to win elections, we can then change the laws, restrict these institutions. The transgender industry is the better word for it.
Yes, it is an industry.
We just did a report on it. It's $4.5 billion a year annually right now. That money is getting reinvested into campaigns and elections. That money is getting reinvested into PR campaigns. That money is being reinvested by going after textbook companies that the schools use to teach children about biology. That is all being used to change hearts and minds. So you can say that politics isn't part of the culture, but it is. And that's why we need to make this stuff illegal. You shouldn't be able to talk to kids about gender identity. You shouldn't be able to talk to children about sexual orientation. It's inappropriate. And we need to update our laws to better protect our children and ensure that parents have the ability to protect their children from this stuff.
That is a great point. You know, we saw in recent years this it appeared to be spontaneous eruption of a parental rights movement. It's like somehow the signal went out to parents like, what is – you know, now that I think about it, it was probably during COVID that parents began to look over the shoulders of their children on the computers and going, what did the teacher just say? So we saw this – I thought it was wonderful, this outpouring of parents into school board meetings, and they brought with them actual – copies of books that were in the school library or in their kids' classroom, and they would try to read segments of those books, and the school board members would say, no, you can't say those words here in a public meeting like that. And the parents going, what? Wait a minute. These words are being said in my 9-year-old kid's classroom. One of the things that's, you know, just has infuriated me is I've heard President Biden and a number of other people in his administration say that the parents who have objected to adults talking to their little kids about these questions referred to those parents as book burners or book banners. No, the books are available anywhere you want them. Nobody's banning the book. The only thing that's happening is a parent has said, you don't have a right to talk to my child about these sensitive matters.
Gary, they're doing way worse than that. They're not just calling us censors. They're not just saying we want to ban books or burn them. The Department of Justice under the Biden administration is investigating these parents as potential domestic terrorists, right? Like if I could say, have one message for your audience, it would be to wake up. If you don't take back power, you are going to be classified as domestic terrorists. We're either going to win this fight and protect our kids and get this stuff out of our schools, or we're going to lose. And that means that your children will not know what gender they are. Your grandchildren won't know what gender they are. Things have gotten so bad in this country that there's a you probably heard about this, but it's called childless by choice. And that is dual income, no children. These are people that, you know, it's not like they're unable to have children. They are purposely not having children. They are so self-centered, they don't even care about having their own flesh and blood created, right? And all of this stuff ends in death, right? And I think that we need to brand these movements, these perverse movements that want to destroy the innocence of children. You know, sexuality is a beautiful thing. But what they're teaching kids in school and encouraging them and instructing them to do destroys sexuality, makes it ugly, makes it unappealing. You know, and you have nations that have gone further down the sexual revolution than we have, they aren't reproducing anymore, right?
I still see these articles about, oh, the population explosion and what it's doing to the planet. You know, in fact, most of Europe right now is on a trajectory that in another 50 years, There will be no Frenchmen in France, no Germans in Germany. I mean, literally, as you just said, we're doing the exact opposite of the biblical injunction of be fruitful and multiply.
That was God's first commandment to us, right? And look, I've done a lot of research and I've talked to a lot of people. You remember Jeff Bell, God yes. rest his soul. He educated me about the history of birth control in the United States. Artificial birth control, right? And look, there are a lot of reasons and exceptions for this, and I'm not judging anyone. But he said that they had to go through the courts on birth control because the American people were too Christian, that they viewed new babies and death as things that were in God's hands solely. So you can't go on artificial contraception because that's telling God no. God's the author of life. He creates each one of us with a purpose in mind. And that's so true. My mom, you know, I'm the eldest of 10 kids, and I've just had my seventh.
Excuse me, what was that again?
I'm the eldest of 10. You know, I'm learning, though. We always got the question, are you Catholic or Mormon? But now, You know, when I joke about that, I'm hearing more when I meet someone that has, you know, yes, one of nine kids, I have, well, I'm Orthodox Presbyterian. I'm Southern Baptist. Like, so there's a new, and then you ask them why are, you know, that's weird. You know, that it's usually Catholics and Mormons that are like that. And they say, well, I just don't want to tell God no. You know, I think he should be in charge. So there are signs of hope and optimism, because I'm meeting, in the line of my work and protecting and preserving the American family, you meet a lot of big families.
Yes.
And I'm hearing this mantra more and more. And so the other message I would tell your audience is encourage your children to be open to life. Have as many kids as God gives you. If you get pregnant, God made that baby. Regardless of the situations it was conceived, God willed that new human being into being. And don't tell them no. So if you're scared about having a baby and God sends you one, you got the resources. You have what it takes. He's not going to send – if you're that incapable of raising another kid, he's not going to send you a baby. God knows you better than anyone, and he's not going to send you a new baby that you can't take care of.
Yeah, absolutely. We really have covered a lot of subjects. So glad that we've had this time together. I want to get back to this concept of Christian citizenship. I've noticed recently individual cases that have come public of an individual who got way out of their area of comfort because they said, I just felt God laid it on my heart to do something. And one of the people I was thinking about is the tragic case of this father that lost a son at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan. That father was at the State of the Union address earlier this year. And he was upset that President Biden was not saying anything about what happened there. And I saw an interview later that the father said, I just felt the Holy Spirit lay on my heart that I needed to say something. So he stood up in the gallery and he shouted out, Abbey Gate, what about my son? You know, and he was arrested and taken away, and he got out of jail and so forth. But I thought, wow, what an amazing thing. I bring it up because we both know Riley Gaines, great swimmer that attended the University of Kentucky. You gave her an award recently at your annual dinner. I think you've talked to her about the fact that she was on her way to having a completely planned life. She planned on graduating from the University of Kentucky and I think going to dental school. Mm-hmm. Share with our listeners why she became one of the leaders in resisting this transgender ideology.
Well, first thing I'll say is anytime you meet someone that has stood up or getting ready to stand up to this transgender industry that's just infringing on so many people's rights and their own peace and their own betterment, please encourage them. Please thank them for doing it, because it's lonely.
Yes.
A lot of times. And there's a lot of risk. There's a lot of downside. And there's not a lot of guarantee that you're going to be successful. But what happened to Riley, she became a real hero because she was one of the first and only women that began speaking out against this whole transgender sports movement. She was an amazing Division I swimmer for the University of Kentucky, went to the national championship for the NCAA, and tied with a biological male. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She tied with a male.
Right.
Exactly. Again, stop saying biological male. It's redundant. It's stupid.
There's only one kind of male. It's the one that was born male.
Right. There are male and female and infinite personalities. That's the reality.
Yes.
And she tied. And when it came time to get the pictures and be on the podiums, they gave Leah Thomas, the male, an award and took his pictures, right? And so this was a photo op. This was a PR effort from the NCAA to virtue signal that they are all about diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? And Riley started speaking up about it. She's got a ton of fame because she's a really well-spoken person. She's smart. She knows what she's talking about, and she is the face of the victim and has brought so much attention. This women's sports fight would not be that far along without her support and help.
I think she may have said it at the speech that I heard at your dinner. She said that, I thought to myself, well, I won't have to deal with this anymore. I'm graduating now. And then she said, but, you know, God laid on my heart, they are erasing women. You can't just walk away. So it's changed her entire life. And She gets a lot of death threats. There's a lot of bad things that happen. But what an example of Christian citizenship. And who knows how many children she will end up and has already saved from this gender dysphoria, this delusion that a little kid might have that they're trapped in the wrong body.
That's exactly right. And the Holy Spirit is so wonderful because he comes to us at key moments as long as we're open to him and speaking his truth. But that's exactly right. Riley has been such a champion. She's made a major impact, and it's because she's answered the call. Right. She obviously felt that this was an important fight to get engaged in, and she was willing to risk all of the slings and arrows that were going to be thrown at her and the slurs. I mean, you know, they held her hostage one of these colleges.
San Francisco, yeah. I think some. Yes. Terrible.
And there's no consequences. Those kids should all be in jail. They should be kicked out of their school for doing that. That's insane. Thing is, a lot of these fights that we're dealing with, they're not new. They're just new in terms of the power that they have.
Yeah.
Right? Ronald Reagan had to shut down student protests quite a bit in California
as
the governor.
And he was condemned as an extremist for doing so, right?
Right. But in the same way, one of the reasons why I respect Dr. James Dobbs so much is that he really is the OG. You know, when this transgender issue, that's an original gangster. I realize your audience isn't as young. I brought this issue up to my mom, the issue of transgenderism. And she said, well, you know, Dr. Dobson's been fighting on this since the 80s. But they didn't call him transgenders. They called him transsexuals. And that's exactly right. He's been a real mentor and an inspiration for me in terms of speaking truth to power and doing what God wants you to do, regardless of how much is up against you. But he's one of the people I bring up in terms of rebuilding the Christian right and the influence we have in this country in politics, because he had such an influence. Mm. I mean, people just respected him and they knew he was good. They knew he knew what he was talking about. And we need to bring that back.
We've talked about you a number of times, Dr. Dobson and I have. And one of the things he mentioned was that he really wanted me to encourage you because he's encouraged to see young men like you standing up at a time when so much of the culture is going in the opposite direction. Well, Terry, this has been fantastic. The time has just sped by. I'd like to ask you if you could lead us in prayer.
Absolutely, Gary. Dear Lord, we ask you to continue blessing America. Encourage everyone listening to get involved, get engaged. Do not lose hope. Do not despair. We are called as Christians to have eternal hope in God because we know that at the end of the day, he is in power. And Lord, we ask you to continue to protect our children, help parents protect their children, even where it's tough, especially in states that are not protecting us and in areas where they're not being protected. But Lord, ultimately, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for the life, regardless of how difficult life can be. It's always worth living. And we want to thank you for our families and for the children you bless us with. And we just want to thank you for the ability to get your word out through such an important network. And we want to thank you for the opportunity to have been born in America and to live in America and to be part of this incredible system of government that we inherited. And Lord, I pray that you empower us all, encourage us all, speak to us directly, tell us what you need us to do, what you created us to do to help save this country. And Lord, please do not let us lose this great nation. Mm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Terry.
Well, what a wonderful prayer indeed. Over the past couple of days here on Family Talk, our own Gary Bauer has had quite an informative conversation with Terry Schilling, the president of the American Principles Project. Now, if you missed any portion of this two-part conversation, head over to our website, if you're not there already, at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk, and you can listen again or share it with a friend. And while you're online with us, be sure you also check out Gary Bauer's outstanding podcast called Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. New episodes are posted every week when you go to drjamesdobson.org and hit the podcast button. Right now, during the month of May here at Family Talk, we have been blessed by some very special friends of the ministry with a matching grant. That means that every dollar we receive this month will be automatically doubled. Just imagine the number of lives that you can help change. Each and every dollar you donate will go twice as far to equip parents, educate kids, and strengthen marriages. Now, this grant only goes up to $300,000, so please consider making a gift today while the matching gift is still in place. You can go online with your secure donation at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. You can also make your donation over the phone using our JDFI app or by calling us at 877-732-6825. And please know that we also would love to hear from you. You can drop us a line with a letter and a contribution when you write to the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, or the JDFI for short, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening to Family Talk today. And be sure to join us again tomorrow when Dr. Dobson has a powerful conversation about the God Pocket with author Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. That's coming up tomorrow on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.